Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 6, The Downfall of Saurabhi Muni, text number 3. But we're going to read the Sanskrit together with text number 7, since that's the one that I'm going to be speaking on. So this one here we won't repeat. Ete kshatra pasuta vaya punas twar twangiris asmata pratitaranam pravara shetro petha vijhataya. Translation, having been born from the womb of Ratitara's wife, all these sons were known as the dynasty of Ratitara. But because they were born from the semen of Angira, they were also known as the dynasty of Angira. Among all the progeny of Ratitara, these sons were the most prominent because, owing to their birth, they were considered Brahmanas. Text number 4. The son of Manu was Ikshvaku. When Manu was sneezing, Ikshvaku was born from Manu's nostrils. King Ikshvaku had 100 sons, of whom Vikukshi, Nimi, and Dandaka were the most prominent. Purport. According to Sridhar Swami, although the Bhagavatam 9, 1, 11, and 12 had previously included Ikshvaku among the 10 sons begotten by Manu and his wife Shraddha, this was a generalization. It is here specifically explained that Ikshvaku was born simply from the sneezing of Manu. Pretty high-tech birth there, huh? Text number 5. Of the 100 sons, 25 became kings in the western side of Aryavarta, a place between the Himalaya and the Vindhya Mountains. Another 25 sons became kings in the east of Aryavarta, and the three principal sons became kings in the middle. The other sons became kings in various other places. Text 6. During the months of January, February, and March, oblations offered to the forefathers are called Ashtaka Shraddha. The Shraddha ceremony is held during the dark fortnight of the month. When Maharaj Ikshvaku was performing his oblations in this ceremony, he ordered his son Vikukshi to go immediately to the forest to bring some pure flesh. And now today's verse. Tateti savanam gadva Mrigan hadva kriyarhanan Shranto bhukshito vira Shashang shadhad apashmati Tateti savanam gadva Mrigan hadva kriyarhanan Shanto bhukshito vira Sasang chadhan apasmati Tateti savanam gadva Mrigan hudva kriyarhanan Shranto bhukshito vira Sasang chadhan apasmati. Devisavanam gudva Mrigan hudva kriyarhanan Chandhavavuksito vira sasanghada dhapasmati ateti saranam. Shanto Vavuksito Vira Sasanghara Dapasmati strategies. According to the direction, iti tas sa vikukshi vanam to the forest, gadva going, mrigan animals, hatva killing, kya arhanan suitable for offering to the yajna in the Shraddha ceremony. Shanta, when he was fatigued. Vibhukshita, and hungry. Vira, the hero. Sasam, a rabbit. Cha, also. Hadat, he ate. Apasmati, forgetting that the flesh was meant for offering in the Shraddha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki. Thereafter, Ikshvaku's son, Vikukshi, went to the forest and killed many animals suitable for being offered as oblations. But when fatigued and hungry, he became forgetful and ate a rabbit he had killed. Purport. It is evident that Kshatriyas killed animals in the forest because the flesh of the animals was suitable to be offered at a particular type of yajna, offering oblations to the forefathers. In the ceremony known as Shraddha is also a kind of yajna. In this yajna, flesh obtained from the forest by hunting could be offered. However, in the present age, Kali Yuga, this kind of offering is forbidden. Quoting from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ashtamedham Gvalambham Sanyasam Pala Paitrikam Devarena Sutotpatim Kalau Pancha Vivarjayat. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden: the offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. The word pala paitrikam refers to an offering of flesh in oblations to forefathers. Formerly, such an offering was allowed, but in this age, it is forbidden. In this age, Kali Yuga, everyone is expert in hunting animals, but most of the people are Sudras, Nakshatriyas, according to Vedic injunctions. However, only Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt, whereas Sudras are allowed to eat flesh after offering goats or other insignificant animals before the deity of goddess Kali or similar demigods. On the whole, meat eating is not completely forbidden. A particular class of men is allowed to eat meat according to various circumstances and injunctions. As far as eating beef is concerned, however, it is strictly prohibited to everyone. Thus, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna personally speaks of go raksham, cow protection, meat eaters according to their different positions, and the directions of the Shastra are allowed to eat flesh, but never the flesh of cows. Cows must be given all protection. Om Gyanata Varandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshuram Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Kurtavacha Lang Pungum Langhai Tegrim Yatkripa Taraham Mande Sikurum Dinner Taranam Vanchakapa Tuyavusya Kripa Sinubdevacha Putitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this Vikukshi made a mistake. He became uncontrolled. He knew that this flesh was meant to be offered in the sacrifice, but he lost control. He forgot. Does this ever happen to any of us, that we are supposed to do something and we lose control? It happens, isn't it, sometimes. The most common thing probably is we lose control of our tongue. We know we shouldn't eat too much, but we lose control, we eat too much, and then we lament, ate too much. Yeah. Or in Krishna's pastimes, or devotees' pastimes, Parikshit Maharaj, he put this dead snake around this sage's neck. He knew he shouldn't do that. He was just asking for water, didn't give water. It was a little extreme to put a dead snake around his neck. But he did it. And sometimes there's things that we should do that we don't do. Yeah. Just like it happens to us sometimes that we're supposed to think of Krishna, but we forget Krishna. We're supposed to remember Krishna all the time. Man mana bhava mad bhakto majhaji mam narasku. Sometimes we forget. Or Yudhisthira, Krishna told him to lie, but he didn't do it. And because of that, he had to see hell. It's kind of interesting. Yudhisthira is the most honest person on the planet, and he just couldn't see himself lying. So he didn't do what Krishna instructed. So he got a reaction. Fortunately, we have so much information here that gives us guidance on what to do, what not to do, to help us in our advancement in spiritual life. And in the pastimes also of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was one devotee, Mukunda, who was a very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, eternal associate. Lord Chaitanya was manifesting his Swayam Prakash, and so many devotees were getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He was giving benedictions. But he hadn't called Mukunda. And they said, "Lord, you haven't called Mukunda." He said, "Yes, this is right, and I'm not going to call Mukunda." "My Lord, why? Why aren't you calling Mukunda? He's such a dear associate of yours." "No, I won't call him. Because he comes and he offers respects to me, but then he hits me in the head. Because Mukunda, he would go and he would associate with the devotees and appreciate their association, but then he would associate with the Mayavadis and appreciate their association." So Lord Chaitanya didn't like this. So Mukunda, he's waiting outside. "You know, why can't I get the darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Why isn't he calling me?" So then the devotees went and told him that you can't see Lord Chaitanya because there's some problem there. And so he asked the devotees, please ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if I'm ever going to see him again. So they asked Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, "He'll see me again in 10 billion births, or million births," and it was a big number. So then the devotees thought, "Oh my God, how are we going to be able to tell him this?" So then when they told Mukunda that you're not going to see Lord Chaitanya for many births, many millions of births, but when he heard that he's going to see Lord Chaitanya, he was so happy. He said, I'm going to see Lord Chaitanya. I'm going to see. He was just in ecstasy. "I'm going to see." And he was in ecstasy. So then when Lord Chaitanya asked the devotees, how was his response when he heard? They said, "Oh, he was happy. He was so happy, Lord Chaitanya. He's going to see you again. In millions of births, he's going to see you." He was in ecstasy. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, bring him now then. You could bring him now." So then the devotees went to Mukunda. "You could see him now." But Mukunda was in so much ecstasy. "I'm going to see you. I'm going to see." He couldn't hear them. They said, "Mukunda, you could go. You could see him now. You don't have to wait millions of births. You could see him now." And he's like, "I'm going to see. I'm going to see. I'm going to see." And finally, after again and again, it dawned on him, "I could see him now." So when he got the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. So I think he learned from that. He didn't go and hear from the Mayavadis anymore. So here in this verse also it's mentioned that in the purport, actually, Prabhupada mentions of five things that aren't allowed in Kali Yuga. Now four of these things aren't done as far as we know in Kali Yuga, but there's one that's done regularly, even within our society, and that's taking sannyas. So how are we to take this? Why is this that it's, here this injunction is here that we, sannyas should not be allowed, but even within our society and other sampradayas also, they're taking sannyas. So why? Why is this? Anybody want to say? Huh? Because Prabhupada allowed it. Yes, but why did Prabhupada allow it? Yes, Amala Bhakti Prabhu. Yes, thank you. So Amala Bhakti Prabhu, for those of you on the internet, he mentioned that this sannyas ashram was meant for preaching. There's different types of sannyas. There's Bahudag, Kutichak, and Parivrajakacharya, Paramahamsa. So this is for preaching. This sannyas was strictly for preaching. And another thing is that it's an emergency. Kali Yuga people are just so much absorbed in material sense gratification. So it's an emergency. So Prabhupada just wanted to spread Krishna consciousness like wild all over the world. And Archita also has something to say. Good point. Okay. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also took sannyas. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took sannyas. And many of his disciples took sannyas. So, yeah, it was, although this is something that's not supposed to be allowed in this age, because it's such a necessity that we spread Krishna consciousness, therefore, it was allowed. And another thing is that actually all of us should eventually take sannyas. Not officially, not formally with a danda and everything, but what is the mood of sannyas? It's renouncing material sense gratification and taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So all of us are supposed to internally take sannyas and surrender to Krishna, accepting Krishna as our maintainer and our protector. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he went all over South India preaching, and he was preaching this. He was singing this verse, Krishna, 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 hey? That Krishna, please accept me as, or please let me understand that you are my maintainer, that you are my protector. So this is sannyas. That he will always maintain. We have faith that Krishna will maintain me and he will protect me. So we all have to internally understand this, that Krishna will protect me, he will maintain me. And we have to give up this idea that I'll find any satisfaction by sense gratification, that my only satisfaction will be when I surrender to Krishna. So a lot of this purport is Krishna or Srila Prabhupada is speaking about the importance that we protect cows. Krishna is known as Govinda. He gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. Krishna likes cows. Krishna likes cows so much that there was one pastime where Yasoda, she decided that Krishna, he should wear shoes because he's going out there in the dirt and he's going to pick his feet. So Krishna needs shoes. So Krishna, when he heard about that, he said, all right, I'll wear shoes. But if I wear shoes, then all my cows have to wear shoes as well. How many cows did Krishna have? Huh? 900,000. That's a lot of shoes. So then she said, all right, never mind. So, yeah, and there's four shoes on each cow, so that's a lot of shoes. That'd be 360,000, right? Yeah. So, and Krishna, in the morning also, he would, with the other cowherd boys, they would milk the cows. So sometimes Krishna, he would get there too late, and the cowherd boys would come to Krishna. Krishna, please come, you're late. The cows are not going to give any milk until they see you. So please come. Yeah. Krishna said, yes, I'm coming. Just now, I'm coming. So the cows were so attached to Krishna that not one drop of milk would come out until they would see Krishna. So much love for Krishna. I remember I was distributing books one time, and I approached one young lady and tried to give her Bhagavad Gita, and I showed her the karma. And she said, "Oh yeah, I'm vegetarian." And she said, "You know why I'm vegetarian?" She said, "I used to live on a farm, and I had a lot of pets. I had about 20 pets. And I had this one calf. And this calf was my most favorite pet. Because whenever I go to the barn, this calf would just come and huddle up to me, just, you know, cuddle up to me, and it was just so affectionate. I was amazed. It was my favorite pet. So I went to the barn one day, and my calf wasn't there. So that evening, we were having dinner. I asked my father, if I went to the barn and the calf wasn't there, my calf wasn't there. Do you know where it is? He said, "Yes, it's on your plate in front of you." And she just became disgusted. And she pushed it away and went to her room, cried. And from that day, she never ate meat again. You know, some people see some animals as pets, and some see them as food. But actually, sometimes the food can be a pet. You know, so that was her favorite pet. You know, so it's very unfortunate, actually, that there's so much cow-killing going on. It's horrible. In America, about 50 million are killed every year. Cows, bulls, calves. It's horrible. And Christian doesn't like it. Christian doesn't like it. Just like we heard this morning of one lady, she passed away. And some of the devotees here, I think, knew her. Right? Did anybody know this Mataji? Yeah? Okay. What was her name? Leela Shakti. And for those who knew her very closely, they were probably very hurt that she had passed away, because some had a relationship with her. They knew her. Now, I didn't know her at all. I may have known her by seeing her face, but so it didn't mean that much to me because I didn't know her. But those who knew her, it meant something to them. So Krishna knows everybody. And it hurts when his living entities are killed unnecessarily. He doesn't like it. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya stated that cow killers will take birth for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. He's so displeased by this cow killing. It's so horrible. It's atrocious. You know? Here the cow has given us milk and cheese and butter and yogurt and so many wonderful foodstuffs. But there's no gratitude, there's no appreciation. You kill it. You know? I mentioned this to one student in the university. He said, "Yeah, well," and then they give us their meat too. I'm just thinking, man, you must be unconscious. I mean, you're about as conscious as a stone. These people are just so brain dead. You know? So fortunately, we're getting the message out to people that this is not good by book distribution. Many thousands and thousands of people throughout the world have become vegetarian because of book distribution. Because we didn't know. You know, you're from India, you know it's not good. But us Westerners, we had no idea that it was bad to eat meat. None of us. Perfectly all right. Just like, eating some vegetables. That was the problem. But then we heard from Srila Prabhupada's books that this is not good. And now our conviction is so strong that we would never even think of eating meat, even if someone offered us $1 million. I mean, I can't imagine a devotee accepting. No way. Take $1 million and I'll give you, eat this hamburger and I'll give you $1 million. Forget it. isn't it? Forget it. You keep your $1 million, you know. It'd be just unheard of. So we want to let people know how important it is that people not eat meat, that they protect the cow. And it's stated that the Vaishyas, they protect the cow, and also the Kshatriyas. Just like when King Parikshit, when he saw Kali personified and killing the cow, he was going to kill him. But then he begged for mercy, and because he's a righteous king, he let him go. But he was going to kill him for killing the cow. So if Pariksha were to come here now, he would be very busy, huh? Killing a lot of demons that are killing the cows. So, you know, we're doing what we can to help people understand this is not good. I remember there was one instance where a couple of devotees that were gonna blow up. This is when Prabhupada was here. They were gonna blow up a McDonald's. And Prabhupada heard about this and said, "Whoever they are, tell them don't do it. You know, we can't be crazy. You can't be crazy fellows. You blow up one McDonald's. What's that gonna do?" Yeah. But Srila Prabhupada, he expressed again and again how sinful this is, that they're killing the cow. And not only should we be kind to the cows, but to all living entities. The devotee is kind to all living entities, not just to the devotees, not just to the cows, but to all living entities. And therefore it's stated in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, mat karmakrin, mat paraman, mat bhakta sangavarti, nirvaira sarvabhutesu yasmavita panditaha. That one who works for me, who understands me to be the supreme, who is engaged in my devotional service, mat karmakrin, mat paraman, mat bhakta sangavarti, nirvaira sarvabhutesu, who is a friend to all living entities, certainly comes to me. So Krishna is very pleased when we're friendly to everyone. And so much so that if we are, then we can go to Krishna. So we have to try to see that everyone is spirit soul. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna himself also says, Bhoktaram yagitapasang sarvaloka mahesvam suradang sarvut gyatram shanti mrishati. That I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices. I'm the friend of all living entities. I'm the proprietor of everything. So Krishna, he's also the friend to all living entities. Yeah. He's such a good friend. Just like imagine you have some friend and he finds out everything about you, and he's still your friend. There's a lot of things that we don't want others to know about us. But a friend is someone who knows everything about us and is still a friend. Not only does Krishna know everything about us, he knows our every thought, which is kind of scary. And he still loves us. He knows everything about us, but he still loves us. So this is Krishna. Wonderful Krishna. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he says, yoga yukta vishudhatma vijitatma jitanya sarvabhutatma bhutatma kurvanapina lipyate. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. So sometimes we'll become not so dear to someone because we lose control of our senses. We'll say something which is not very nice, which is offensive to someone. Even sometimes friends will say things to other friends that are not so nice, and you lose the friendship because of that. So to control the tongue, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Buddha Fusta Vegam. That one has to learn to control the sun. If one can control these things, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, you can control the anger, the mind, the senses, like this, then you can become a spiritual master and make disciples all over the world. So this ability to control is very important. You have to pray to Krishna that we can control our senses, that we can control our mind. It's not easy. Dorjyanam maham mana. Krishna says, of difficult things to control, I'm the mind. Very difficult to control the mind, to fix the mind on Krishna. And therefore Krishna says, manmana bhava manbhakta, always think of me. Very difficult to always think of Krishna as conditioned souls. For someone who's not a conditioned soul, who's someone who's a pure soul, that is not difficult at all, because they're pure. So we're trying to become pure. Just like there's water filters that purify water, and there's air filters that purify air. So there's consciousness purifiers. And the most powerful consciousness purifier in this age of Kali is the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the more we chant this Hare Krishna mantra, the more our consciousness will become pure. Now, we've built up a lot of trash, which is covering our consciousness. So therefore, we have to keep chanting and chanting. Prabhupada said, the hearts of my disciples are so dirty, it's like trying to clean coal. Yeah. Try to clean coal. You know, it's just black. Throughout, it's just black. You won't reach a point where it's not black anymore. It's just black. So, by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of Krishna, somehow we can become cleansed. But we have to have faith in this process. Yeah, in this age also, we're very impatient. We want everything very quickly. But this is the process in which we have to be patient. It's very important. And if we're not, then we'll become frustrated eventually, and we'll go out again and try to find some maya sukaya, some illusory happiness, some illusory pleasure. But there's no pleasure in this world. So we should do what is very pleasing to Krishna and avoid that which is displeasing. Like there was one devotee who said, if the whole world praises me for something I've done, but Krishna is not pleased, then what is the use of that? And if I do something which the whole world criticizes me for, but Krishna is pleased, then that's what I'll do. Because we're only interested in the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore, the Lord Chaitanya, he instructed Raghunath Das Goswami what to do. He said, first of all, what to do and what not to. Don't associate with non-devotees or hear what they have to say. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Worship Krishna in Vrindavan Dham. Don't dress very nicely. Don't eat very rich foods. He said, if you do these things, then you'll advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Oh, and two others. Don't expect respect for yourself, and offer all respect to others. So these are the eight instructions that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath Das Goswami. Very important instructions. Yeah, there's so much association that we could have in this material world, non-devotee and devotee. Yeah. Sometimes devotees leave and they go out and associate with non-devotees again. There was one instance where, this has been about 1976, one devotee said, Prabhupada, so many devotees have left our society. And Prabhupada said, no, not so much. Only a couple have started eating meat again. He considered that to be gone if someone starts eating meat again. Yeah. Someone leaves our society but still vegetarian and still has some faith in Krishna. He didn't consider that to be actually leaving Krishna consciousness. Back then, practically everybody, 90% lived within the temples. Very few lived outside. Now, 90% live outside, very few live inside. It's a little different now. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Boo. Nice class. I have one question, one comment and one question. The comment is, I always thought that a cow had to have a calf in order to give milk. I think that's the common understanding, you know. But Ratna Bhushan just told me last week, he was down in Panama for the Rath Yatra, and Guru Prasad Swami told him that they have cows down there that don't have calves and give milk. And he just...
I've heard that before also, yeah.
And Guru Prasad Swami just explained to him, they would just treat him very nicely. They give milk. So I thought that was really far out, just, you know, how horrible it is where the cows are being treated. They're such an amazing animal. He's just kind to them. Even they don't have a calf, they give milk.
Another thing is that generally after the cow has a calf, after some time it stops giving milk. After the calf grows up to some degree. But in many temples, I've heard that the cow that keeps giving milk many, many years after, they generally stop giving milk. They keep giving milk because there's so much love and affection.
So well. Okay, so here's the question now. Say somebody offered you $100 million. Yeah, to eat a hamburger.
How far will we take it? Or how about $100 billion?
$100 million. And you knew, you were confident that you're just going to eat that hamburger and, you know, you weren't going to eat another one after that. Just a one-off thing. You'd eat the hamburger and give $50 million to complete the temple in Mayapur and $50 million for developing Sankirtan worldwide. I mean, would that be okay?
This is a loaded question.
Because there is that pastime where Prabhupada told Harikesh, you know, and Harikesh, he sent him to Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, you know,
Prabhupada told Harikesh, yeah.
You know, what is it, but Prabhupada, you know, what if I have to eat? I can't find any food there. And Prabhupada said, well, eat meat. And Harikesh said, what about my consciousness? And Prabhupada said, damn your consciousness. So, I know, we'll see.
Well, since you don't have $100 million to offer me, I'll just say no. Yes, Nila Madhavapur.
I know it's important to keep a clean house and everything. What about cockroaches? Because they're not really dangerous and harmful, but they're just really like bothersome. And I know, how do you...
How do we deal with cockroaches in your home or something? Huh?
Yeah.
Catch them and throw them out the window or out the door. Don't kill them. I was thinking about how we should... good thing you brought this up. I don't know if I brought this up before, but... We're kind to all living entities, and also we have to be very strict about what we eat. Prabhupada actually said if we eat food prepared by non-devotees, our heart becomes wicked. So, Paladananda Swami told me some time ago that chocolate is not vegetarian because there's insects in it. And then I thought, well, maybe he's got some misinformation. And someone else told me, and I thought, so I went on the internet, I checked it out. The FDA allows 60 parts of insects mostly cockroaches, in every 100 grams of chocolate, which is about this much. So it's not vegetarian. So we shouldn't eat. And I think this is why, one of the reasons why Prabhupada said, because you don't know what's in there. I had no idea. But there's, you know, of course, it's very difficult in Kali Yuga just to be vegetarian. So Radha Bhushan told me some of the vegetables that we eat, sometimes there's insects in there. You know, he tries to get out as much as he can, but sometimes they're, you know, unfortunately they're there. But if we know that it's not vegetarian, of course we don't know whether there's, you know, any insects in the vegetables we eat. But if we know that it's not vegetarian, we shouldn't eat it. Chocolate. It's not vegetarian. Yes, Prabhu. Now, I've heard this before, that there's fish oil in the milk. Now, I heard that it wasn't true.
What did Prabhupada say about that? About the
well, there's some question whether there's truth in that. Does anybody know for sure? Amala Bhakta Prabhu, bring that over to Amala Bhakta. I heard that it was true and that it wasn't true, so I'm not even sure about it.
Well, first of all, what I wanted to get to in regard to, I think it's rennet, okay, which comes from, what is it?
From the cow.
From the calf, yeah.
Can you hear it now?
Okay. Yeah, so from the calf. So what happened is that devotees were very hesitant and antsy about wanting to eat anything with rennet in it. So I did some research on that, Badrinarayan. I mentioned it to him. So the system presently now is that everything is now artificially created. It is not created with what we call real rennet. It's done through chemistry now. So therefore, that is almost 100% now. It is so much cheaper to do it that way than actually to buy it, you know, from dead calves, so forth and so on. And the same thing with they use the fish oil, you know, for certain vitamins, but they can now synthesize those vitamins very easily. So there's really no need for them to do that anymore. And as far as I understand, is that generally, unless it's specifically asked for, you see, some people, they still want, you know, they cling to the old thing. There may be some places selling it as a special type of order. But generally speaking, for the general public, it's not being used anymore. They just use a synthetic type.
So rennet is not being used from the cows anymore, you're saying?
That's correct, yeah. And cheeses is generally where it was used especially. So now, and I have actually factuals from the companies. I got letters from them in which they actually specified we no longer use rennet. We use a synthetic form of rennet, which is fabricated by
Well, that's
scientists.
Good to hear, huh? Yeah. So good news here in the morning news here in New Dwarka. Yeah.
It's so much less expensive to do it that way. That was the main reason for it.
Archite Prabhu.
The problem is, can you trust them? And they're always changing. Like Breyer's ice cream was the ice cream of choice for devotees for years. But then, lo and behold, they change management and they change their formula. And it wasn't just simply sugar, cream, and milk anymore. They started adding stuff in there.
Animal products.
Devotees actually contacted them and they admitted that, yes, they've changed their formula. And, you know, some that used to not have any eggs at all, now they have, you know, you can't really trust them.
Yeah, best thing is just don't eat food that is prepared by non-devotees.
That's the best formula. Now, for a preaching movement in the city, sometimes you have to go, even the grains have animal parts in it. You buy flour in a bag, it's got animal parts in there. You're not going to avoid that. They keep them in silos, the rats get in there, they grind up the whole thing. You know,
they have these tractors, they go and they pick up there's rodents in the field when these tractors are picking them up. So
for devotees, yes, don't consciously eat anything that you know, but over and above that is make sure you offer everything before you eat it. If you buy anything, even the purest apple, and you take a bite out of it without offering it to Krishna, you're incurring sin. Krishna says, patram pushpam. He never said that you're free if you don't offer the leaf or it's only fruit. Many times the devotees say, it's only fruit. But Krishna says, patram pushpam alam toyam. He says, give me fruit, leaf, water, even the simplest thing he wants you to offer. Yeah. Not that because it's simple and it's an apple, I can just bite it. And no, anything you eat, you should offer to Krishna, which means you should take at least some trouble to make sure it's offerable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think there was one more. No?
No.
No.
I don't know if I can't really quote shastras like Amala Bhakta, but when I joined the movement, there was contamination even then in milk and sugar. And in Laguna Beach, where I joined, a lot of devotees were like trying to buy like health food type sugar and milk. And one Prabhupada disciple told me that in Prabhupada's time, he said, it's Kali Yuga, everything is contaminated. Because even in Prabhupada's time, there was fish oil in the milk, but they were offering it to the deities. So Prabhupada said that by offering it to Krishna, it becomes purified and devotees continue to use it. So I don't know if anyone's heard this.
Yeah, that's pretty common. That's pretty common knowledge. But so, if we can avoid it, if we can avoid eating foods prepared by non-devotees, that's best.
Yeah, and I think now we have more choices because
people
have become more conscientious of it.
Okay, one more. Balam's going to... Oh, we got... Okay, I'm on the butt.
Just one point, and that has to do with really being a little bit fanatical. You mentioned about that there's the insects in chocolate, and if you go to grains, you'll see there's so many rats ground up and so many insects ground up in the grains themselves. They get into the big granaries and so forth. So as you just mentioned, nothing is perfectly 100% pure. I mean, you can take this to the maximum, to the nth degree, and say, well, what about breathing? You breathe in so many bacteria. You're a meat eater.
Yeah, therefore I said we things that we can avoid, we should avoid. We have to breathe.
Exactly. So the point is that, well, a person may say, well, I'm not going to breathe anymore, therefore I don't want to be a killer and get the karmic reaction. That's a foolish, fanatical thing, because more important is that you have a human life. Human life is to be meant for achieving God realization, and God realization is a much more important factor than whether you just swallowed some bacteria or even an insect, whatever it
means. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.